Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go. You'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. It's a brand new year. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I just figured since it's a religious show, we should start off with some religious things.
That came out of left field.
I don't know. Hey, it's a new year. You know, everybody starts off a new year. They start fasting and they consecrate themselves.
Yeah, it's like a New Year's Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah. Mardi Gras.
See, I'm not very good at that.
I think one of the best things that you could do if you need to fast is fast your opinion.
Ooh.
Come on, somebody.
Got a hot and heavy hand already. It's a little early in the show for that much conviction.
Sorry.
Oh, snap.
Be like, I'm fasting grains, but I can eat corn chips.
Can I put this pizza in the blender?
It's not a supreme, it's just a cheese pizza.
Yeah, if you just fast your negative attitude. Sorry.
Hey, let's that go reminds back me to the negative fast and the positive feast that
Steve Backlund
does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that every year.
So it's real.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it is that time of year and everybody is making big plans and dreaming and writing down their goals for the year. And we recently made some changes that we're super excited about. Started a record label about a year ago, the Next Gen Worship Collective. Recently, we did a little switchover. We felt that the word collective and tying it to Next Gen Worship wasn't super representative of all that we feel in our heart for it.
Yeah. Plus, it's hard to say.
They're like, what's the name of that region?
Regeneration.
Yeah, so
with fear and trembling.
So we're so proud to make the announcement. It's already been on social media and stuff, but we're so proud to make the announcement that the Next Gen Worship Collective is now Identity Music.
Wow.
And the crowd
goes
wild. So identitymusic.co. You can find us there. We have a huge vision to grab like-hearted world changers and make some music that carries an encounter. We are super big on advancing the kingdom. We love to see people's lives changed. We love to see family lines interrupted and their destinies turn to a new course. And, you know, we have a lot of talent in our own region that we've been curating or stewarding, and I am so excited to make a ton of music this year.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited too because identity music just to me is so much more broad in what it can do and what it can be and the diversity of the sounds that can be produced and just embody healthy identity.
And identity is such a core thing. I mean, it's the catalyst of everything going the right direction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you really discover your identity in Christ, it changes everything. And everything that we've done through Next Gen Worship has been about identity. The lyrics of our songs mm-hmm. are about identity. Everything that we talk about, all of the conferences that we've had about changing culture has all stemmed from knowing our identity and telling people their identity and giving them permission to be who God called them to be. So It's a beautiful thing to see Identity Music now as our record label.
Yeah, the truth is that we are sons of God and what we believe changes the world. And when we write songs about what we believe and we release creativity, that is releasing heaven on earth. And that's something we feel very strongly about. We want to set chaos into order. We want to make wrong things right. Not only that, we want to see people who are called to write songs, called to lead worship, called to lead movements of the kingdom on the earth through worship and creativity. We want to see those people find their place. And maybe you're listening to this and you're like, yes, that's me. Well, maybe your place is with us. So we're actively looking and we're talking with people and we want to form a family of world changers who are doing worship and creativity really, really well.
And we're very collaborative, so we will embrace any like hearts. You can find out more about Identity Music at identitymusic.co. Today on the show, we're going to be talking with Alan Garrett a little bit later on about his book, Unsilenced. It's a pretty broad topic that we would like to talk about in discussion today, and we'll be doing that when we come back. Recently, Next Gen Worship encountered Like Hearts near the Boston, Massachusetts area, recording artists that pour their heart out and reveal the heart of God in a new EP entitled Dreams Become One. We would like to take this time to highlight their story and share their music. You can purchase their EP at desertwondermusic.com.
Sometimes when you're in a season of transition, it's easy to find yourself second-guessing the steps you've taken, or feeling like you've entered into a desert.
During a time of worship in a season just like that, we heard the Lord pulling us close and reminding us that He has a plan and a purpose in each step, and although we can't see it in full yet, He is revealing it to us little by little.
He kept whispering, "Just stay with me a while and let our dreams become one."
We were wrecked with this constant invitation from the Lord and were quickly filled with confidence on who He is over what we were feeling.
It's the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to be talking about the process of stability. We're getting into some kind of deep things about knowing yourself and understanding who you are. And we're really fortunate to have a world-class author and inspirational speaker, our very own Haley Kaler will be interviewing you on the show.
That is going to be so amazing.
That's going to be super fun. Haley, you've got an incredible story that's been resonating with so many women. You're a content partner with Charisma Spirit-Led Women online, and lots of shares and people really resonating with your story. So we're going to hear about that and talk about it. It's going to be great.
Today we're talking about Unsilenced. It's a new book written by Alan Garrett. We're going to be talking with him a little bit later in the show. But let's dive into this topic and let's talk about giving a voice.
Yeah, I like the subtitle to his book, Giving a Voice to Women Silenced by Ignorance. We're going to talk about women a little bit today. And we are huge proponents of championing people. That means everyone. We're not just championing the guy or somebody else. You know, we want to see everyone championed. When Holy Spirit comes on a city, everyone is empowered. So it's Holy Spirit's goal to empower everyone to do the kingdom work that He's called us to do. So naturally, we're going to fight for some justice in the area of people's lives where they are silenced. Honestly, I think almost everybody is dealing with some form of censorship on their life. It's not just women. It's not just minorities. You have plenty of men who have no idea what they're supposed to be doing in life. They're relegated to the American dream. They're sitting on their couch. They're wasting their lives. They have no voice. So I would like to champion women today, but I would like to champion everyone to have a voice. So let's toss this topic out on the table here and let's get this conversation started. Haley, why don't you get us going here? What are we talking about today when we talk about being unsilenced?
Well, I think that our culture, you know, we've made a lot of progress in the world for women. Women are allowed to vote. They can go to college. They can pursue career. But the unfortunate thing is that for all that progress, you have a lack of kingdom principles in the equality of men and women. You have the feminist movement, which came in, and although it had some good ideas, it was met by a huge backlash of conservative white men that came on the attack, and then it turned into a women's rights Roe v. Wade kind of anti-family movement is what, you know, we feel like. And then you have this war. None of that is the kingdom of God. None of that is what God has wanted and designed men and women to be together. Mm-hmm. I feel a sense of justice for girls and women to be allowed to pursue their dreams, even if those dreams don't look like what we traditionally call the roles of women. But I am more passionate about men and women working together without competition. I don't have to try to do what men do to give myself value. I am uniquely made as a woman to fill the role that God has given me. Now, I'm never going to say that that means that all I'm allowed to do is stay at home and raise my family, even though for this season of my life, I am a stay-at-home mom. But I am operating as who God has made me to be. And I think that every woman should find her voice, find her story, find her place in the world, and operate the way that God has called her to be, not necessarily the way that society or the church or religion says that she should be.
Yeah. I think you touched on this, but I don't know how many people are familiar with this term, and this may be a horrible term to say, but we kind of refer to that movement as feminazi.
Yeah.
It's like, it's more of a rebellion.
What do you call it?
I don't think we need to say that again.
Feminazi. But
Feminazi.
Yeah. And I think it's important to make this distinction. Like, we're not inciting a rebellion here. We're restoring health.
Yeah.
We want to see healthy women. We want to see healthy men. And we want to see healthy marriages that advance the kingdom together. Mm-hmm. We have come so far. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
And that men are healthy men and women are healthy women.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen a more masculine movement in my entire life than the feminist movement.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that
right?
is really because, and you see it in ministry, you see those, you know, strong female ministers that are from a generation ago, and they maybe come across as very strong personality, very sharp-tongued, but that's because it's a result of the pushback that they have received from men, and so they've compensated. I applaud them for fighting that battle, but I want to see a more healthy version, you know, mm-hmm. in the garden. And I think this is one thing that he talks about in the book. You know, there was a curse that came with the fall of man. Before that curse, Adam and Eve were equal. They were equal stewards. They were a team, and they were doing something together. You know, we want to apply the blood of Jesus to the curse of, you know, toiling with the sweat of our brow to bring, you know, food from the ground, and you'll work all your days fighting the thorns and the thistles. And we want to, you know, bring that blood to wash away the curse of sin and death. But we don't want to bring that, you know, like let the blood wash away that part of where women would be subject. Mm-hmm. They would be lower than their yeah. husbands. We want to keep that. Oh, well, that's not part of Jesus's blood.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and I think that if we could see examples of couples, men and women, who are operating together powerfully, not in competition, but in tandem, they're mm-hmm. like, you know, they're a team. We could really wreck the world.
Well, you see Paul address that in Colossians, I think it is. It was pretty controversial in his day to put women on any kind of pedestal.
Very, yeah.
Even in Ephesians, he talked about everyone being equal, no mm-hmm. longer male nor female, free nor slave. But in Colossians, he talks about husbands and wives submit one to another.
Yeah.
And that women should respect their husbands. Husbands should love their wives. This was a mutual thing.
Yeah.
This was mm-hmm. a very mutual thing. It was never like meant to be distorted like it has been by
no.
religious.
No, and I think it was a recipe for healthy community together, you know? Mm-hmm. To be submitted to one another in love.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to empower you to be whatever it is you're called to be. I mean, I don't want you to be a carbon copy of me. I want you to be who it is that Jesus is saying you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Is that a stay-at-home mom rocking it at home? That is fantastic. If that is an author, if that is a leader, awesome. We're not trying to pigeonhole this. We're just trying mm-hmm. to say, what is it you were created to do? And that's really one of the broad messages that we carry as Next Gen Worship. What are you dreaming about? What is the thing you're called to? Get in community and let's champion that and see it come to pass.
Yeah. And no matter what, that is always going to have a family priority.
Yeah.
If we're building community and we're building family, we want to build healthy families. So, you know, right now in this season of my life, I'm at home with my kids. I'm homeschooling my kids, but I don't feel like that is my place. I feel like producing a healthy family is God's mandate on my life. And I'm going to do that. And no matter what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. So as a husband, Haley, I'm curious, for me as a man, it's really hard to put my mind inside of a woman's position where sometimes you just feel this opposition being a woman who wants to have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
What are some ways that you feel like men can empower women a little more?
I think that the best thing to do is for a husband and wife to figure out how their team flourishes. Because your family is a team. Your husband, your wife, you are a part of a team. And there's no formula that is right for us and right for Josh and Ashley and right for everyone else. Each family unit, each team needs to be willing to come up with a plan that is best for the team. Like I mentioned this morning that in celebrity culture, you never hear an interviewer ask a male celebrity, how do you balance work and family? You
yeah,
know,
that's so good.
It's not on the radar, but they all, that's one of the first questions they always ask a female celebrity is how do you balance work and family? Well, why is she the one that has to balance that and not him? It should be a team. Like we are constantly, Clint makes sacrifices that are best for the team. Mm. I make sacrifices
so
that are best for the team. And we are always evaluating how do we do this together?
Well, we've always said the revival looks like healthy family.
Yes.
And you know, that's kind of what Jesus envisioned whenever he sent us all out. He didn't send us out individually. He sent us out as a team.
Yeah.
As a team of people. Yeah. And it's all about community.
Absolutely.
And what's best for the community.
Yeah.
You know, in order for a community to thrive, we do have to thrive individually. We have to understand our identity. We have to understand the process that brings us to stability so we can be the best for the rest.
That's awesome, man.
I know.
Little inspired speech there.
It just kind of came out of me. I'm going to write that down and put it in my book.
That's awesome.
So the process of stability is what we're going to talk about next week. And we're interviewing our very own Haley Kaler.
Yeah, baby.
She's got a lot to say about this. She is a content writer for Charisma. And she's really gotten a good response from some of the things that she shared. And you just do a great job, Haley.
Thank you, Josh.
Just want to showcase that a little bit.
Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Alan Garrett about this very topic, Unsilenced. It's the title of his new book. And we really look forward to that next.
Loving others doesn't mean that you practice tolerating them. It means that you are an active participator in fighting for justice in their lives. It means that you're now a fighter for their dreams, their greatness, and the treasures inside of them to be fully displayed. Are you offended when people do well? Are you shipwrecked when others become great? You were created to display His brilliance, and that always includes helping others to shine brighter than yourself. Surround yourself with people greater than you, people that do exploits, and people who know how to shine. Not for the sake of climbing a ladder, but so that you can become great at championing others also. After all, that's what the great ones do.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be talking about the process of stability, and someone who has a lot to say about this, our very own Haley Kaler, will be our interview on that program. Today, we've been talking about Unsilenced, giving a voice to women who have been silenced by ignorance, and we're fortunate enough to have on the program with us today the author of Unsilenced, Alan Garrett.
All right, Alan, thanks so much for sitting down with us on the show today. Just been chatting with you a little bit. Obvious that the Lord is really speaking to your heart about some of these topics and issues, and we want to dive into those. Before we do, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us where you are and some of your history and what you're doing.
Sure. My wife and I are at Jesus Culture Sacramento. That's our home church. We're not formally part of the staff there, but we're involved in ministry there on the ministry team and leading different small groups and things at the church. But I'm ordained through the River International Revival Network of Churches, and I've been in church leadership for over 30 years. So we've been involved in church planting through the Vineyard, Christian fellowships, missions, small groups, evangelism, lots of stuff. And we're also associated somewhat with Danny Stain from Mountain of Worship, which is part virus. So my wife and I travel and teach. We love encouraging the church. We love trying to build and impart ministry of the Holy Spirit. We love the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I love your guys' tagline of bringing heaven and shifting culture. I love that. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we really noticed you because Dean DeGuara had written a foreword for your book.
Yes.
So maybe explain your relationship with Dean and how that came about.
just through Jesus Culture Sacramento, Dean and I hit it off. We'll do coffee every once in a while. You know, he speaks into my life and, you know, through being a pastor, but also just relationally. So I was writing this book on women in ministry, and I asked him, hey, so you want to do the forward? He said, I'd love to. So,
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
We love Dean. We've had him on the show before, and a really like heart, and just really appreciate him. So the name of your book is Unsilenced, Giving a Voice to Women Silenced by Ignorance.
Yeah.
So pull back the curtain. Tell us all about this. Tell us the why, and let's get into this topic.
Well, it's an area that I've had to shift my theology, and I believe this is an area that the Holy Spirit wants to shift the church in, is releasing women into ministry. Why would we let half the church not function fully in their giftings? There are only two reasons. One is because we have poor theology, or one is because we're some way biased towards women. I believe a lot of the church wants to release women, but it's their theology that holds them back. It was for me. You know, I couldn't get around some of Paul's passages. And so a lot of people in the church use Paul's scriptures, specifically 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, and 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 15, to silence women, to some degree at least. And so I came up with the title Unsilenced, because I look at those verses, and people usually take them out of context to tell women they can't teach. So I spent about 6 years really researching the topic, looking at everybody that's really conservative to everybody that's really ultra liberal, and kind of came to my conclusion in the book. Chapter 1 talks about the role of women in Genesis. Paul refers to Genesis in his writings, so Genesis can't say something to him that it doesn't say in the original text. So I look at all those different things, some of the arguments people use that women have to be subordinate to men. Chapter 2 looks at women who led in the Old Testament. And chapter 3 looks at women who led in the New Testament. So if women led in those areas and they taught and they were vocal in those areas, well, then it doesn't make sense that Paul would silence them. So there are things I didn't know when I started the study. For instance, I didn't know that there was a woman who was an apostle. In the end of Romans 16, Paul says, greet Andronicus and Junia, who are prominent among the apostles. And he says they were in Christ before him. And he says that they were kinsmen, so they were probably Jewish. So when you go back in history and really study the subject, she was known as a woman and an apostle until the late Middle Ages.
Wow.
And when you look at the linguistic evidence, it has to be a woman's name. About half of your translations will say that it's a male name, but she was a woman. Huh. And Paul said she was an apostle, and not only that, it says she was prominent among the apostles.
Yeah.
And most people think that they were a husband and wife team, and they functioned together. Some of your translations will try and say things like well-known among the apostles. They'll say, oh, yeah, it's a female name, but it's well-known. That's not the best translation of that phrase. It's well-known among the apostles. So if you have a woman that functioned even in the broader sense of an apostle, you know, of taking the gospel somewhere involved, she has to be involved in teaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I look at a lot of things like that. Then chapter 4 talks about a cultural backdrop to Jesus' ministry. So I look at how women were treated in Hebrew, in Greek, and Roman culture, because you really don't see how liberating Christianity is to women and was to women at that time unless you understand the broader context of how they were treated.
Well, can we touch on that just a second? Can you explain that a little bit? Because it sounds really good.
Well, women did not have rights. In some parts of the culture, they couldn't talk to men in public. Their testimony was not considered valid in court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when you have Jesus releasing a woman, like the woman at the well, and she goes and preaches and the whole city gets saved, he commends her for that. So we don't see that as being radical. We don't see the fact that he's talking to a woman in public is something that's crossing a cultural boundary.
Yeah, wow.
So every interaction he had with a woman, I'm just going to say what I think.
Yeah, sure.
He elevated the status of woman.
Come on.
And that's how he treated him. There are a lot of cultural things that we don't see when we read scripture, like Mary and Martha. The fact that he had Mary sit at his feet, we think that's, okay, relationship, which it is. I mean, there's relationship there. But we don't realize that that phrase, sit at the feet of Jesus, is a phrase for becoming a disciple. A rabbi would use that phrase. You know, like if you sat at the feet of somebody, they were your teacher.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And so that meant he was taking her on as a disciple. Paul used that same phrase when he talked about Gamaliel. He said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. So we see those things and we think, okay, you know, she's just wanting a relationship. Well, it's more than that. He's committing her for wanting to enter into the lifestyle of a disciple.
Wow. That's powerful. So
there's a lot of cultural things I bring into the book. And chapter 6 and 7, look at Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians 34 and 35 and in 1 Timothy 2, 11. Chapter 8 talks about what did Paul mean by man as the head of woman. Mm-hmm. A lot of people read a cultural idea of a servant, or the head means I tell you what to do.
Right.
And so you really have to ask, what does that mean culturally? And what does that word mean? Kephale, the word for head, how's that used? What did that mean to the culture? And so I talk about there's three different options for that people tend to gravitate towards. So I talk about that. And then chapter 10 is a summary chapter. And then my wife wrote a chapter 11.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So well,
why don't we take maybe the most prominent argument that you hear mm-hmm. for women, you know, advancing the kingdom, being in leadership, holding a position of power mm-hmm. and having a voice in the earth. So we hear an argument in the earth from other leaders from you know, different places devaluing women. Let's take that one and let's take some scripture and apply it towards it.
I would say most commonly I hear either 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 or 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 15 quoted. Basically, there's a lot to it. So I would recommend people read the book because I really do go through everything. They take those scriptures and they try and read them just at face value. And you have to look at the context because they were in a section of scripture where Paul's addressing errors and things in the church. Mm-hmm. So he's addressing a specific cultural situation because that's the context of it. And so you can't just take that out of the scripture and say this applies to all women at all time. If you look at what it says, it basically says that women aren't allowed to teach or exercise authority over a man. And they have to ask their husband questions at home. They're not allowed to talk in church.
Right.
So if you take that and say that applies to everybody in every situation, well, then that even contradicting Paul in his same book, because he tells women to pray and prophesy.
Right.
So he can't mean all women have to shut up and they're not allowed to talk in church.
Yeah.
You have to look at things like in the 1 Timothy passage, he says, I don't allow a woman to exercise authority over a man. Well, you have to look at what that word authority means. It's not exousia, another word for authority. It's a word called authentine. And it's only used once in scripture and it's used in that place. So when you're saying, I don't allow a woman to exercise authority over a man, what does that word mean? Well, when you study it, it means to dominate, to domineer. It carries a much, much stronger tone than exousia would. And Paul chooses that word because there were women in that church that were acting inappropriately and not submitting to the authority of the church and teaching. Sometimes Paul is addressing a specific situation in a church. It's like a letter. We only have half the letter. So if we don't understand the question, taking that out of context and silencing all women and saying you can't teach or lead in the church, it just doesn't fly.
Yeah. So why don't you share your heart a little bit about this? I mean, what do you think Holy Spirit's doing in the earth right now as far as giving women their voice back?
Well, I think he wants to release women. When you look at women like Heidi Baker, Heidi and Roland, as a team, they have led over 1 million people to Jesus, and they have something like 10,000 churches that relate to them.
Yeah.
So when you see a woman like that, God's obviously blessed it, so you have to say he makes exceptions.
Right.
But how many exceptions is he going to make?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are a lot of women who really function in a manner where they're anointed and gifted by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So you either have to say it's illegal, which doesn't make sense, because there are people believing and loving and worshiping Jesus, like 1 million of them, because of Heidi and Roland.
Right.
So that doesn't make sense. Or you have to say, well, you know, God makes exceptions. Only a man didn't pick up the anointing, so he gave it to a woman. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense either, because there are men that would do that. I mean, Roland, you know, he's doing it with her. You know, they're a team. Or you have to say that God's blessing women.
Yeah.
So I think the Holy Spirit really does want to equip and release women to minister in all areas of the church. The woman on the cover is my daughter.
Oh,
so
cool.
I don't know if you knew that, but I picked her specifically because I want a world where my daughter can use her gifts and talents, whatever God gives her in, as far as leadership.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us about some of the God dreams that are in your heart? We love to ask people about their dreams.
Yeah.
We get a great picture of some of the things that Holy Spirit's up to. So tell us about that.
Well, I do want to write more. my heart is to equip and train and release and shift culture. You know, so I want to do that. I want to do more speaking. I speak some, but I'm a teacher by profession. Actually, I do that at my school. It's like I have kids healed in my classroom. It's kind of fun.
Oh,
I can tell you some stories there. So yeah, I want to travel and help build the church. I'd love to teach more on women in ministry. I actually haven't had that many speaking engagements yet from my book, but I would love to go and equip and train in the area of women in ministry. My wife and I also will travel and stir up the gifts in the church. So we'll do like conferences on prophetic ministry, those kinds of things. So yeah, I would like to grow in some of those things. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, we want to connect people with you and with this book. So give us some ways to do that. Let's talk social media, website, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, you can pick up my book, Unsilenced, Giving a Voice to Women Silenced by Ignorance, on Amazon.com. You can always email me at alsgarrett@gmail.com. I have a blog. It's called the Unsilenced Blog, and that's alsgarrett.net. I have a equipping blog called Expression 28, kind of centered around Matthew 28, the mission of the church, and that's at alsgarrett.org.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure sitting down with you today, Alan. I love the passion in your heart about this. I love the boldness of you just stepping out and talking about it. It's something that we see more and more widely accepted, but I think we've yet to see the big turnaround in the world on this. And I just champion your heart for it and say a big amen to what you're doing.
Thank you, Clint.
It's been a pleasure having you.
All right. Blessings.
So good to have Alan Garrett and the family of Jesus Culture on the program once again with us. We look forward to visiting with them again in the near future. Next week, we're going to be talking with Haley a little bit about the process of stability. And it's great to have her as a content partner with Charisma Magazine. She's written several articles that have gotten some really great feedback, and she's got a lot to say about this subject. So join us next week as we mine the Father's heart to find out what He wants for our generation and the generations to come.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.